Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
All right, it's going to be fun tonight. It's going to be great. Let me get going. I'm going to pray. God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for what you're about to do in all of our lives. I thank you, God, that you're going to shift some paradigms tonight, that you're going to call us out. You're going to call us out from where we are into where you have called us to be. I thank you for this series called Stretch. God, I pray that you would give us the strength to stretch tonight. You would give us the wisdom to stretch. God, you would give us the faith to stretch into all that you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. First and foremost, I want to just thank and honor your campus pastors, Pastor John and Becky, for letting me be here. World changers, planet shakers. You know, it's easy to get up and pray for people and do that because they have cultivated an atmosphere that it allows God to move, that allows God to move. Jesus went into his hometown, could do no mighty miracles because of their unbelief. People ask all the time, why do people fall over in your church? And there's connected to power and you're going to hit the deck. That's just what's going to happen. But I believe more than anything, the reason that people encounter God here is because we just believe that they can. Why do people fall over? Why do miracles happen? Why do those things take place? Because we simply believe that God can do whatever he wants to do. Because our belief can limit what God can do in your life. God is God, but he says, you know what? I'm not going to violate the free will that you have. So if you don't want to believe it, I just won't do it. Actually, sorry, it's not even that he won't. It's that he can't. He actually can't. He could do no mighty miracles. So tonight, why don't you do this? Whatever background you're from, this is your first time at church, or you know you don't maybe necessarily believe that the gifts are for today, can you just do something? Put away every theological background that you might have, everything that you've read. Take that, put that in a little box just for the next 30 minutes, and shove that out of the way. And just do me a favor for the next 30 minutes. Just believe that God can do whatever he wants to do. And if you do that, I promise you, you're going to see what you never seen. You're going to do what you never done. You're going to step into a life that you never thought or imagined you could step into. Don't limit what God can do because of what you saw on television. In Jesus' name. So, and also honor our senior pastors, Pastor Yuri and Leanne, that without them, none of this would be possible. We're here, you're here, we're all here in this place because of their faith and because of their stretch. And every time I think about moving my family, now that we have 3 kids and another girl on the way, 4 girls under 4 or under 5 or 4. We just have 4 girls. They have birthdays every year, okay? So they're somewhere between, they're like little age. They're like, they need attention age. They're like not sleeping all the night age. Like, you know, it's like a jumble. And I'm saying that my wife is actually the one who gets up with them. She's amazing. I forget what I was saying. Moving. Yeah. So anyways, we love our pastors. Honor them. Can't love on them enough. Honor them enough. Also want to honor, if you didn't know, I was here on Friday night with our My City Youth team. who just over the last probably month or so, has just hit this stream, this river of where God is at. And they're seeing probably, I don't know, 30 to 40 salvations every single week on a Friday night of teenagers. 50 plus new people every week. Like, what in the world's happening? God is up to something. Schools we've been praying for 8 years now just keep showing up. Like, where are you from? Oh, I'm from this school. I'm like, we prayed for that school. How'd you come? I don't know, I just showed up. Like, we know how you came. So I want to honor the team, want to honor Brad Jones, who's just killing it. One of my favorite humans on the planet. Smashing it! Brad Jones is a pioneer. He's pioneering things, pioneering our schools assemblies. Last year, I think we did around 60 public school assemblies around San Diego, public school, the ones that don't let church into the school. We did 60 of them. And that's all because of Brad Jones and his incredible team who just made a way, who just believe that with God, all things are possible. So love you guys. Okay, here we go. All right, open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, the title of this message tonight is called Stretch for Life. Stretch for Life. And it's not talking about like your whole life being a stretch, but it is. It's stretching for the life that God has for you to live. So many of us are living below our potential, below where God has called you to live. You're thinking in a different hemisphere. You're not thinking in a biblical mindset or a heavenly mindset. You're not living where God wants you to live. And so I believe that if we can stretch it, if we can get a hold of some principles, that God's going to do something great in your life. Growing up, I wasn't really known for stretching that much. Okay, I'm still not known for. Stretching is probably one of the most hated sports that I can do. And I don't know if it is a sport, but I classify it as a sport. Like, I'd rather wrestle a sumo wrestler than stretch. I just, for whatever reason, I hate physically stretching. And in high school, in fact, right now, I'm going to demonstrate for you, especially on live stream. Thanks for joining us. I'm just going to show you how this is. That's it right there. Any further and my legs will break. Something will. I don't know. There's so many like trainers. You're like, I can help you with that. You're going to like, give me all your business cards after church. Like, hey, man, just like give me a call. I'll help you out with your mobility. I'm cool with my mobility right now. Thanks. But I couldn't stretch it to the place where I was running a track meet. I was doing, I think, a 200-meter sprint. I was running full out, and I didn't stretch properly. And because I didn't stretch, I was running full out, and then something popped, and I just shot straight up in the air. It was like it was the craziest thing. I was just running. All of a sudden, I was like, whoa, whoa, just like that. And I had pulled my hamstring, and then I was out for like 6 weeks, and I couldn't compete in the district competitions and all of that, because I didn't take the proper time to stretch out my muscles before I competed in a race. And so this series is all about that. God has a race for you, and unless we stretch, unless we prepare for the race, as soon as you start running it, you're about to get taken out of it because we didn't prepare for it. So this series is to prepare us for the race that God has for you. The race that God has for us. It was so bad that I came home one day and my mom knew that I wasn't big into stretching, couldn't touch my toes, and all my coaches said, if you were just to stretch, you'd be like 5 times faster. And I'm like, yeah, I would if it wasn't like so weird to stretch. And so I got home, my mom handed me a VHS, because that's back when we had VHS, and she handed me a VHS. And I looked at the cover of this thing, and it said like, working out with yoga. I'm like, Mom, is this a joke? Like, this is, you know, 15 years ago, 16 years ago, back when just dudes didn't do yoga. I'm just being, it wasn't San Diego, it was Oregon, okay? I had 10,000 people in my hometown. I wore camo to school. I hunted before school, brought my deer to school. Like, it wasn't San Diego. We were like, what are you doing this morning? Oh, I'm just going to go do yoga. We didn't do that. So I show up, my mom has a yoga tape, and she's like, this is going to help you. I'm like, Mom, I'm not doing this. Anyway, she's my mom, so I honored her. So I ended up doing it for a couple weeks until I was in this weird, I don't even know what you like, upward dog facing triangle thing. And I'm sitting there in that watch, and I'm like, what has happened to my life? What has happened to my life? How did this end up happening to me? I'm not trying to be an Olympian. It's not like I'm going to the Olympics competing with Usain Bolt. I'm not doing that. Why am I on the floor in my living room as a teenager in high school doing yoga? So anyways, I wasn't big into stretching. It was actually crazy. I don't know why they did it. I don't know if they still do this, but in PE class, they had these different competitions where they would like, you know, tell you how good you are, and you could pass or fail depending on how good you are with these certain tests, like a broad jump where you would jump, see how far you can jump, and a couple other things. And then they had this craziest one where you used to have to sit down. I'm gonna just demonstrate this. You used to have to sit down like this, right? And then they put something there like lines and markers all the way out, and then you had to stretch out like that and see how far you could touch. Like, how in the world is that like an indicator if I'm doing good in PE or not? Like, I can't touch it, but I can kick the heck out of a soccer ball, okay? Like, This is not it. Anyways, I couldn't get very far, and because of that, there were different things that I would fail because I wasn't flexible enough. What I'm trying to say and get at is that's the kind of the same principle in your walk with God. That there, God is calling you to stretch, and if you're not flexible enough, if you haven't practiced enough, there's going to be some things and some tests that you fail because in the quiet time, in the secret place, in that moment, in that testing phase, you just became rigid and held on. Because if you just hold on when God is trying to stretch you, you're not going to stretch, you're going to break. And so tonight, this message is all about getting us to the place where we can stretch our lives so that God can fill us. God is just trying to increase your capacity. Man, if you could only know what God has planned for you, if you could just begin to think all the goodness that God has for your life, exceedingly, abundantly, above, not what we can think, but over all we can think or imagine or dream. Whatever your greatest imagination is, God has more for you. If you're not living in that great imagination, then you're not scratching the surface for what God has for your life. But we have to stop resisting the stretch of life and start embracing it. So Mark chapter 5, I want to read the story of this lady, this woman with the issue of blood. Verse 25 says this. It says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." Interesting. Interesting that you can spend everything and get nothing. A lot of us in the offering time think that that's worth spending. In fact, you have it classified in your budget column as a bill you have to pay instead of an investment that you get to make. See, a tithe is not a bill, it's an investment. So you can spend everything and get nothing, or you can give something and get everything. And so we see this lady who had spent everything and got nothing. Spent everything and got nothing. Rather grew worse. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitudes thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Your stretch has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So we see this woman here who for 12 years was in a struggle. 12 years was in the worst time of her life. Now you have to understand something. Why was this a stretch for this lady? All she did was walk up to Jesus and not even touch him. All she did was touch his garment. Why was that a stretch? Well, because for 12 years, she had a flow of blood. If you know anything about those days, if you had a flow of blood, you were classified as unclean or impure, which means you couldn't be around anybody else. You couldn't touch anybody physically. The Bible doesn't say if she was married, but if she was married, she couldn't be intimate for 12 years. And some of you are complaining about a month. She couldn't be intimate for 12 years. If she had little children, she couldn't hold them. She couldn't go out. She couldn't go to the synagogue. She couldn't go to a place of worship because in everybody's eyes, she was impure. She was unclean. In fact, if she deliberately touched anybody, it would be seen as a crime. She'd be thrown into prison. Why was it a stretch? Because she went out of her way and she didn't just touch a couple people. She actually touched multiple people. Why? Because the Bible says that Jesus was in the middle of a crowd. They were thronging him. That means they were all around him. There was a group of people. There was no way she could have got in there without touching hundreds of people along the way. So hundreds of people were now touched and impure because of who she was. So if one person touched deliberately would have ended as a crime in prison, then 100 people touched deliberately would have ended in death. That's why it's a stretch. Because she wasn't just risking just her popularity. She wasn't just risking people making fun of her. No, she was risking her entire life. They would have taken her. They would have stoned her. They would have beheaded her maybe. They would have crucified her. They would have done all kinds of crazy things to her because when she should have stayed at home, she went out. Now that's a word for some of us right now. When you should have stayed at home, you came. When you have every reason to stay at home, when you have every reason just to watch on the live stream, when you have every reason just to listen to the podcast, when you all just catch it on the podcast, it's the same thing. No, it's not. It wasn't a podcast that healed that woman. It was a tangible, physical presence of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with a podcast. Listen to it. Re-listen to it. Get that thing in your spirit. It serves a purpose, but there is nothing like being in the presence of God. There is nothing like showing up. That's why long-term consistency trumps short-term intensity. That's why just showing up when everything is going wrong, when everything is going to hell, when everything is tired, man, when you're messed up, when you're broken, when you're in your pajamas. We'd rather have you in your pajamas than not have you at all. Sometimes you just got to show up. Sometimes you just got to push through the crowd. And yeah, you're going to be touching people. And man, what are they going to think about me? But you just got to be like that woman who says, I don't even care because right now I'm about to die. And whether this works or not, I'm going to die anyway. So I'm just going to push through the crowd. I'm going to get to where Jesus is at. That's why we call people forward to the altar, because we're trying to get you to that place where you say, where Jesus is at, I got to be at. And yeah, people might make fun of me. People might look at me. People might wonder why I'm doing that. People might think, oh, you're my leader. How will you go into the front? But we have to get to the place where we no longer think and care what people are going to say or think about us. Once we start doing that, we start living in the land of the miraculous. So we see this woman in this life and the risk, risking everything for this chance. She knew that this was her last opportunity for a miracle. So what if tonight, what if you just stop saying, well, tomorrow I'll go for it. What if you say, I got 15 minutes? What if tonight was it? What if this was your last chance? How would you worship? How would you pray? How would you run to the altar? How would you go after God? How would you serve him? How would you give in an offering? What if this was the last Vision Builders you could participate in? How would you be generous? How would you think, well, next year I'll do it when everything's right. I'll do it when everything's good. But this lady said, no, everything's not good. This is the last. This is all I got. I'm risking my life to go out and do this thing, but I'm going to give it all I got. And this lady does that. But here's the thing. Just like all of us, there's advisors. There's people in our life that want to say things like, well, I wouldn't risk it today. It's a little bit too risky. That stretch is just a little bit too far. That's what they would have told her. Why? Because she was physically risking her life. If she wouldn't have gotten healed, she would have been killed. Guaranteed. Guaranteed she would have been killed if she wouldn't have got healed. But yet she stepped out anyways. I bet people in her house said, Mom, don't do it. Mom, don't do it. Mom, don't do it. Her husband, don't do it. Don't do it. People around her. In fact, probably at that point, her husband divorced her. Her husband was away from her because she was so impure for so long. Nobody wanted anything to do with her. He probably took the kids, so now she was just living by herself, lonely. But she went out anyways. The stretch is too much. People telling her, if you go, you'll lose your life. But what you have to understand is that stretch was not for her to lose her life. That stretch was for her to gain her life. The stretch is uncomfortable, but it's not for you to lose it. It's for you to find it. The stretch of you going into the uncomfortable zone, the stretch of you stepping out of the boat, the stretch of you giving what seems crazy to give, for you to do what seems crazy to do, to believe for what people are telling you, man, you can't believe for that. It has never been done before. Nobody has ever. This is impossible. If people are telling you that, this is your time to do it anyways. Stop staying in the boat and start getting out of that thing and start believing that with God, all things are possible. That your stretch is not so that you lose your life, but that so you find your life. We have a lady a couple weeks ago started a Connect group. She started a Connect group because she was sitting in a service when Pastor Leanne was preaching. And she said, if you feel like God is calling you to start a Connect group, I want you to stand to your feet. She stood to her feet. She got prayer and she started her Connect group. But what you don't understand is that she's had a really difficult time raising one of her daughters, been in and out of the hospital her entire life, almost lost her when she was born, and it's been complication after complication. And if anybody sick is around her, what has happened in the past is she has gotten to a place where if she gets a common cold, it could end in death. It is so hard and difficult to have anybody over to her house, so she's been so afraid and not wanting to do it for so long. So she decides to start a Connect group, and when she's about to start her Connect group, her oldest daughter gets the chicken pox, and if her youngest daughter is around, anybody with a sickness like that, it could very well end in death. But I love what this woman in our church does. She continues to do it. She gets people around her that aren't telling her what she wants to hear, but telling her what she needs to hear. She calls some people up to pray with her, to believe with her, to shift fear into faith and believe. And so she shows up at her connect group and starts her connect group, and six different people, not from our church, but from the hospital, whose kids are in leukemia right now, who are on life's edge. They all show up and they all get prayer and they all go after God, and they see this massive miracle start happening in this place. Why? Because when everybody told her you might lose your life, she said, no, I'm doing this to find my life. When everybody told her, man, you're about to die, no, she said, no, we're about to live. See, what's the stretch God has called you to step into tonight? What's that thing that seems impossible that God is calling you to take part in? What's that thing that you said, next week, next year, next month, I'll do it, but God is saying, no, today is the day. When you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, turn to him today. We see this woman in 1 Kings. In 1 Kings, Elijah shows up and he says, I'm going to go to Zarephath. I've provided a widow who she's going to provide for. So he shows up and this woman is there, and he goes to her and she's drawing water. He says, get me some water. And while you're at it, why don't you just bake me a little cake? Which is like the weirdest demand ever. Just bake me a cake or something. It's like Pedro from, anyways, bake me a cake. Bake me a cake. And she's like, yeah, I would, except all I got is a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour. I'm about to make a cake. My son and I are going to eat it. Then we're going to die. It's a bad day. You're like, I can't eat Chick-fil-A today. That's your worst problem. But she's like, we're going to have my cake. I'm gonna eat it with my son. We're going to look at each other for about 30 days, because that's about how long it's going to take to starve. And then we're going to die. And Elijah's like, cool. Bake me a cake first. Bake me a cake. And this is what he said. I love it. He says, bake me a cake. And then the bin of flour will not go empty. The jar of oil will not run dry. For as long as there's drought and no rain on the earth, you will not be without. And he prophesies that to her, and she goes back to her house and she makes a cake out of the rest that she has there, and she brings it to him. And it's not until she bakes it that God provides for her. It's not until she stretches into the unknown that God does a miracle for her. And very well, man, the bin of flour filled up and the jar of oil didn't run dry, and she had more than enough for the entire time. More than enough for what she needed. Why? Because she was obedient to stretch in the time where people told her not to stretch. Because she said this, I'm not stretching. This isn't me losing my life by baking this cake. No, I'm finding my life. I'm living my life. I'm going from death to life. People would say, no, you're not. You're using everything you have. You're going from life to death. She's like, I'm not going from life to death. I'm going from death to life, because you don't understand the principles of God and the word of God. Because when the word of God is, there is miracles, there is freedom, there is breakthrough. That's what she steps in, says, we need to stretch today. God has the power to heal or to provide, but we have to have the responsibility to move. God wanted to heal, but she had to move. God wanted to heal, but the woman with the issue of blood had to move. She had to step out. She had to do something. She had to get out of the comfort zone, out of the home, out of that place of convenience, and step into that place of inconvenience or that place of obedience. And when she stepped out, God moved. So you got to understand, there's a life that God has called for us. I'm going to have the whole team come up with me. Thanks, guys. There's a life that God has called us to live. And that life is on the other side of the stretch. See, on the other side of the stretch, see, on the other side of that comfort place, that easy place, that convenient place, this is what I've discovered. I've discovered that life is found when we fished all day and we still throw our net on the other side. When we fished all day, and yet at his word, we say, nevertheless. I've discovered that life is found in that place where we've done all we can to stand, but we stand therefore. That life is found in that place when you come to the end of yourself and find the beginning of God. You find the beginning of who he is. That life is found when it's the little you have left and you pour it out. When it's the only, when it's everything and you pour it out. When it's your only free morning and you give it. when it's your grocery money for this thing, and God speaks and you're obedient and you pour it out as an offering. The Bible says a sweet-smelling aroma. Why is it a sweet-smelling aroma? Because it catches the attention of God. You pour it out and God says, what's that? What's that that I smell? What's that? Is there somebody who understands what it means to stretch? Somebody who understands what it means to believe? We see that. That life is found when the presence of God is more valuable than the comfort zone. But the stretch caused her pain. That woman with the issue of blood, to step out caused her pain. You have to believe that the issue that she had was not a comfortable thing. So it was most comfortable for her to lay down and to not move. But on that day, she decided to get up and move. And not only was she struggling mentally, but now she was struggling physically, because anytime you're about to stretch, pain is going to come. But you have to understand that the pain that we feel when we stretch is trying to keep you from going. But the pain is the very reason that you're meant to be going. The pain she had was trying to tell her, don't go, don't risk it, don't stretch, don't move, don't do the impossible. You might die, you might get hurt, you might get injured. What are people going to think? But I imagine this lady, when that voice of pain was rising up, she rose up and said, it's because of the pain that I must go to him. It's because of the pain that I must move forward. It's because of the pain that I must give. It's because of the pain that I must reach. It's because of the pain that I must put myself out there. It's because of the pain. Don't let the pain be the motivator for keeping you in that place. So many of us are trying to lose the pain, but God is trying to get us to use the pain. God is trying to get you to use the pain. What did David do? Goliath died, and David cut off the head of Goliath. Why? Because he took that head with him. He said, hey, the biggest cause of pain in the nation of Israel, I'm going to take that thing with me. Because the very thing that's causing me pain is the very thing I'm going to use. I'm going to use my pain. I'm going to use my discomfort. I'm going to use what the enemy intended for bad, and God is going to turn it around and use it for good. We got people getting healed today because of one neglected, wounded, beat up woman who just made a decision to not let her pain keep her from her promise. And look what happens. You're fired up, not because of me, but because of this woman. We don't even know her name, but yet we're getting healed because of her obedience to step out, to move. Your pain. So why did this woman decide to stretch? I'm finishing. You guys ready? Come out, singers, come out, come out. Why did she decide to step out? I think one of the reasons, because she was just over it. She's over it. 12 years, man, she was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. You ever get that way? You know what? I'm just done. I'm over it. I'm tired of staying in my bed. I'm tired of staying in this place. I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of being anxious. I'm tired of being fearful. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of relying on sleeping pills to sleep at night. I'm sick of relying on this medication just to live a life that God intended me to live. She stepped out because she was just sick of it. But you want to know the real big reason, I believe? The biggest reason I believe she stepped out was this. The Bible says she had a flow of blood for 12 years, which meant she could not go to the synagogue. She couldn't be around people. She couldn't touch anybody. There was nothing she could do. But before that, I don't know how many years she was alive. Before that, she was constantly in the synagogue. She was constantly around the Word of God. She constantly was reading it, constantly listening to it, constantly being fed by the Word of God. So when she was by herself, the only word that she could rely on was the Word of God that she heard for maybe 20, 30 years before that. So she stepped out. Now, here's the crazy thing you got to understand. The Bible says that she stepped out and she touched just his hem of his garment. That's the weirdest thing, right? If you're like wanting a miracle and you're already risking death, why not just give Jesus a big bear hug? Why not just run up and tackle Jesus and be like, today I'm getting my miracle? Like, if you're like, I'm gonna die anyways, I'm going for it, right? You would think that that would be it, but what I love is she doesn't. She doesn't. all she does is touch the edge, the bottom, the border of his garment. Why? Because she'd been meditating on what she had been taught for 12 years. For 12 years, the word of God was permeating her spirit, her soul, her everything. And then one day, I believe, she was sitting in her house. And she had a knock on the door, and somebody opened it and said, who they believe to be the Son of God is coming by this way. And I believe at that moment, something rose up in her spirit. And she remembered back to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2 that says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. The Hebrew word for wings is the same as the Hebrew word for end or border. Just like she touched the end and the border of his garment was because she heard the word of God in the middle of her despair, in the middle of her loneliness, in the middle of her depression, in the worst of the worst, when she had suffered so many things from so many people and it was only getting worse. She heard the word of the God and she said, Jesus is here and all I gotta do is touch the wing. Because in his wing is healing, in his wing is breakthrough, in his wing is mercy, in his wing is deliverance, in his wing is provision, in his wing. All she had to do was get the word of God in her spirit. You got to understand something. The reason that she went out is because the word of God was so filled in her. It was the word of God that drew her out. It was the word that she risked everything. It was the word of God that helped her stretch past the pain. It was the word of God that gave her strength in every step she took. It was the word of God, healing in his wings, healing in his wings, healing in his wings, healing in his wings. You got to understand, God is calling you out, and it's the word of God that's going to give you power to stretch out. The word of God that is living and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, who's a discerner of spirits. It's the word of God that's not dead, but is living. The flowers fade, the grass dies, but the word of my God, it surpasses everything. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Every step she took, she was just prophesying. His word gives me strength. His word goes with me. His power is in me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with her, and where the Word of God is, the enemy cannot live. Healing cannot stay. Somebody tonight, the Word of God, it's not a book. It's not information. It's words that will transform every fiber of your being.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.